So I'm just going to actually read. I've encouraged us to read through the book of Ephesians. And I'm just going to read chapter 4, if that's okay. Are you okay with that? It's a long reading. I don't normally do long scripture readings, but I talked about how we're thinking about beliefs and behaviours. And if you look at the first three chapters of Ephesians, it's all about what we believe as a church. And then you go into chapter 4, and Paul begins to address how we should behave as the church. And this passage is entitled, well, Unity in the Body of Christ. And then it goes on to talk about living as children of light. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul's speaking to the church here. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. It's a big ask. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What a fantastic passage. Make every effort. He's encouraging us 2,000 years later to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I like it when there's peace, and I don't mean a peace and jam. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he who also descended to the lower earthly regions, he who descended is the very one who ascended. He's talking about Jesus here. Jesus came from heaven to earth, lived on earth, died, rose again, and ascended back to his Father in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves when we're reading Scripture about the why behind the letter that's been written. This is the why. This is the why for people who serve in church, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. These are big things that are being expected, that's been expected of us. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Jesus is the head of the church. We are described as the body of Christ, and we all have a part to play in that. And then he moves on to this, what is entitled in my Bible, Living as Children of Light. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. We thought about that last week when we thought about the vandalized image, how Eve lusted after the fruit. She had this intense desire after the fruit. And we find ourselves falling to the same temptations. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. There's that word again. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. They say this to married couples, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And it means you've got to stay up and fight until you get it sorted out. I'm only joking. But listen to what verse 27 says. See, for me, there are many passages in Scripture, and you read them, and sometimes they go in one ear and out the other. But see this one, verse 27, I look at this, and when I see it, something happens, and I go, we need to take note of this particular Scripture. It says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. It's so easy for us to allow the devil to get a foothold in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our church. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Paul's talking to the church here. He's not talking to the world outside the window. Sorry, I'm going to my Christmas songs again. He's talking to the church here, and he's addressing the church. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What an incredible passage. And what a tall order. And when we read the Beatitudes, the things that Jesus has asked us to do, I don't know about you, I read that and I think, I can't do this in my own strength. I need God living in me in order to help me to do that. And over the last few weeks, we've thought about life, God, and the universe, how God created everything that we see, how he created us, human beings, in his image, and how ultimately that image was vandalized. And I love this verse in Corinthians where it says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. I don't know about you, I feel like a broken pot sometimes. I feel like a broken pot sometimes. And sometimes you just wish you could be really shiny and nice and perfect and all that kind of stuff. But I'm looking at broken pots, and you're looking at a broken pot. And what allows us to be who we are is the fact that we have God living inside us. We have this treasure in jars of clay. God lives in us. If we've invited him in, he lives in us. And he is able to do incredible things with the broken pots. And for me, that's a key in what we'll share today. And the title of what I want to share today is, Have You Heard? Next week, I want to look at the supremacy of love. And the week after that, I want to look at fighting to forgive. Why am I sharing this? Because for me, and I said this to somebody just recently, for me, the mission is more important than me. The mission of God for this church and this community is more important than me. It's more important than what I think. It's more important than what I say. The mission trumps everything. The mission is to reach people for Jesus, win people for Jesus, to grow people in their faith, and to see people serving in the kingdom of God. That's the church's mission. And that mission is more important than me. And it's more important than a whole bunch of other things that capture our attention and time. And I want to encourage us to remember that the why behind anything that I say today is the importance of the mission, the importance of this church fulfilling its God-given purpose. And so today I want to share something that's been on my heart since this time last year when I began to read 1 Corinthians in my daily readings. And I trust what you hear today is what I intend to say. Sometimes it can be challenging to address certain subjects. And the subject of words in the Bible is a massive subject, and we could spend months just looking at words, how people use them, how God uses them, and how sometimes the enemy uses words. And speaking of words, they say that ice is the easiest word to spell. And when I look at it, I see why. Sorry, icy. I can't even get my jokes right. Sorry. But let me just say this as we think about this subject of words. Words need an ear to listen and a heart to land in. We were talking recently about the parable of the sower and how Jesus said when the man went out to sow seed, some seed fell on the rocks, some seed fell on the rocks, some in amongst the weeds, and some seed fell on good ground. And it's the seed that falls on good ground that grows. And the word of God is the seed. And my prayer today is that we have hearts that are able to receive the word of God. Jesus said this, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So whatever is in here is what will come out. Yeah? What is in here is what will come out. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And I don't know about you, but I think about that passage of Scripture. I think about what Jesus is saying here. And I think about all the things I've ever said in my life, sometimes in the heat of the moment, and you wish you hadn't said it. Everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word. I don't want any of the words that I share today to be empty. I want them to be filled with meaning and purpose. Paul, in his letter to the church of Ephesus, at Ephesus, said this, and we read this passage, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And I once heard somebody say this, "Ideas have consequences," or "A mind stretched to a new idea never returns to its original shape." Once you learn something new, you can't unlearn it, okay? Once you hear something, you can't unhear it. And in the same way, our words have consequences. Our words cause ripples throughout the universe. You might not think that. You might think you're very small and insignificant. In one sense, we are. But our words have consequences. I found, when I was studying the subject of words, 447 references to words that are described, what type of words, the types of words that we find in the Bible. And I'm going to put up a list. Don't panic and try to read all this. But I'm going to read it out. Different types of words: distressing, idle, honest, sharp, cruel, arrogant, rash, talking about Moses, who just had had enough, and he just vented and let it fly. And then Moses gets a hard time because he says the wrong thing, does the wrong thing, and he's not allowed to enter the promised land, if you read the stories in Exodus. There's hateful words, sweet words referring to God, light-giving, true, perverse, seductive, words of justice, gracious, deep, words that are like deep waters, words of knowledge, prudent words, foolish, quiet, right, as in the correct, wise words, empty, deceptive, worthy, false, boastful, insolent, eternal, talking about Jesus' words, gracious, living, persuasive, intelligible, empty, boastful, defiant, proud, and that's talking about the beast in Revelation, and then the true words of God, as a reflection. The Bible is full of words. The Bible is the Word of God made, and Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And in the book of Proverbs, we find wisdom in all sorts of things, including the words that we use. Proverbs 17:27 says this, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint." The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. So if you're in doubt, don't say it, okay? If you're in doubt, don't say it. Just zip it. Who remembers that cartoon show from way, way back? In fact, it wasn't a cartoon show. It used to be on at lunchtime. It's called Rainbow. Up above the streets and houses, rainbow shining high, right? I always get things wrong when I go to quote them. But there's a character on Rainbow called Zippy. Does anybody remember Zippy? He would never shut up until somebody would zippy zip, right? And sometimes we just need to zip or zip, okay? Okay. I came across this quote just in the last couple of weeks, and it says this, "I've had to retrain my tongue not to express every thought, and I've had to challenge the thoughts I keep having." Can anybody identify with this? I identify with this. I've had to retrain my tongue not to express every thought. There are some of us who don't say very much, and people who are very stoic and quiet and stuff like that. I'm not necessarily one of those people, because I kind of tend to wear my heart on my sleeve. And sometimes you just can express every thought and you're like, no, maybe that's not such a good idea. Sometimes we can just get ourselves into trouble with the things that we say. You've probably heard the story about the three ministers who went out on a wee fishing boat. They had a day off, and they decided to go out fishing one day. And so the three of them are in the boat, nice sunny day, fishing for rainbow trout, and they began to have a conversation. And one of them said, "Wouldn't it be good if we had a wee time of confession, and we talked about our weaknesses?" And so the Pentecostal minister went first. He says, "Well, actually, don't tell him this. I have a bit of a thing for the ladies, so just keep that to yourself." And everybody's like, "Oh, did not know that." And then the Roman Catholic priest, he said, "Well, actually, I've got a wee thing for the wee tipple and the communion wine at the end and stuff like that." And it's like, "Oh, don't tell MD that." And then the Church of Scotland minister, he says, "Well, I'm a gossip and I can't wait to get off of this boat." I don't go fishing with people who will talk about me. Why do we need to think about this? Because Scripture is full of examples of these types of things. Secondly, there's wisdom in Scripture on how people use words, and often it's not good. And thirdly, and probably most importantly, gossip is a hidden sin that the devil has a field day with. Gossip just goes on underneath the surface, and the devil has a field day with it. Do you remember what I said at the start? For me, the mission trumps everything. The mission trumps me. And if anything hinders the mission, we need to deal with that. Proverbs 10:19 says this: "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." And that does not mean you go about like that. It's an idiom, okay? It means zip it, okay? Hold your tongue. Don't speak too quickly. Proverbs 11:13: "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret." And Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, it says something that I was thinking about when meditating on the subject of human anger. I'm thinking, why do we get angry? And how do we deal with anger? And as I was thinking about that, I came across basically an analogy that relates anger with fire and heat, okay? There's the fire triangle and stuff like that. But this is what the proverb says. It says, "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down." Man, what a passage, eh? It's linking wood to gossip, the fuel for the fire. It's linking fire with quarreling, and it's linking the fire going out with quarrels dying out. I don't know about you, I like to be at peace. I don't like hassle. I like everybody to be getting on. And this verse says something to us as a church. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. But what is gossip? And it's a question that's kind of vexed me for about a year now since I read this passage in 1 Corinthians. And I've tried to think about it, and I've tried to define it, and I've tried to come up with a statement that helps me to think about what it actually is. And it wasn't until about a month ago when I was on Instagram, up came this little thing at the top of my feed. And it was a quote by Nicky Gumbel. I don't know if it was what he said or he was quoting somebody else, but it said this: "Gossip is when you're sharing information and you're neither part of the problem nor part of the solution." Meditate on that for a wee while. I've been meditating on that for about a month now. And I'm still getting my head around what he has said there. Gossip is when you're sharing information and you're neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. If it's your problem, but the person you're speaking to is not part of the solution, then it's still your problem. You've not gained anything. If it's not your problem, and neither are you in a position to fix it, then it's still a problem. And have you ever heard this in church? It's like, "I'm just sharing this for prayer." Have you ever heard that? We need to pray about this, but... You know. If it's you that's needing prayer and you're sharing it, it's fine. If it's about somebody else, then it's maybe not fine. Do you know, sometimes people come to us as leaders in the church and say, "Do you know, can I share something with you? And I'm looking for prayer in a certain thing, but I don't really want anybody to know." And we treat that very seriously. We treat confidences very seriously. See, when you speak to Mary and she says, "This is in confidence," I mean, provided we don't need to you know, there are some things you just can't keep in confidence for various reasons, and we talk about that in our child protection training. But by and large, when people share something with Mary and it's in confidence, I never hear about it. When somebody shares something with me in confidence, Mary never hears about it. And we also don't talk about stuff in their family that are related to the challenges, some of the challenges that we're facing. We don't do that. And some people say this. Have you ever heard this? Oh, it's nothing I wouldn't say to their face. Have you ever heard that? I've said that. The problem is that in that moment, you are, in fact, not saying it to their face. And so that's a problem, or it can be a problem. And sometimes the only difference between one and the other is our attitude and why we're saying what we're saying. As a speaker or a listener, what is our motivation? To try to help and heal? Hopefully it is. And word gets around quickly. It's amazing how fast word gets around. So we're better avoiding gossip, okay? Word gets around fast. Many, many years ago, I used to volunteer for an organization called Teen Challenge. Have you heard the Teen Challenge? And one of the roles that I had in Teen Challenge was to drive a big double-decker bus, the big blue bus. And we took it out into the streets in Bathgate. See, I can drive a bus. I can drive a bus, Paolo. No bad, eh? And we would take it out into the streets in Bathgate, and all these young people would be fighting and having barneys, and we'd be trying to get them on the bus to have a cup of tea and a chat with them. And then we took it out into the streets in Whitburn as well, and some of our young people were involved in that ministry, and it was great. Belinda was involved in that ministry. There you go. That's how long ago that was. It was a long time ago. And on one occasion, I was driving the bus from Whitburn back to the depot in Longstone, and I had just reached the junction at Livingston when the lights went out in the bus. So I pulled into the hard shoulder. I had my wee torch. I shone my torch up the back, and the back of the bus was full of smoke. I thought, whatever is going on here? So I had this brainwave that because I was at the Livingston Junction, I could turn off and go into Mitsubishi, which was my place of work at the time. And so here am I, pitching up at the reception in Mitsubishi, getting out the bus and trying to go up to the door, which was locked, and Jack, the security guard, was on the other side of the door, and believe me, he was not very helpful, okay? And I'm up at the door trying to shout through the wee crack in the glass. I'm like, Jack, it's me, it's Stevie Roy. It's like, I've got a problem with the bus. I don't care what your problem is. Get that thing out of here. Thanks very much. I thought I was going to get help. I work here every day. You should know my face by now. And so I'll cut a long story short, a very long story short. I couldn't stop the bus, but that's another story. The battery terminal had fried because the starter motor had stuck on, and the electrics were all out, so I couldn't even switch the bus off. So anyway, that's the long bit of the story. It's quite interesting, but I'll tell you that another time. But here's what I'm trying to say. That was Friday night. On Monday morning, I went in and clocked into work just before 8 o'clock, and the news had already got around about Stevie Roy and his bus where they sit upstairs and they sing Kumbaya and do all these funny, weird things. And I got absolute gypped for 2 weeks. I got stick for that for 2 weeks. Why? Because the jungle drums had been beating and everybody knew about Stevie Roy and his Kumbaya bus, okay? Forgive me if you like that song, Kumbaya, okay? It's okay. It's all right. But word gets around fast, and it's amazing how quickly word can get around in a community. We need sometimes to talk about things. The only way that problems get resolved is if we talk about them. But we need to do that in a constructive way. And I want to think about that more as I come to the final message of this series, when I talk about fighting to forgive. But understanding the difference between gossip and talk, we need to talk, and it's good to talk, and it's good sometimes to air things with a safe person. But gossiping is whispering often behind a person, often in secret, and often bringing another person down. And the results of gossip we've thought about in some of the pages, some of the passages, sorry, that we've read this morning, betraying confidences, separating close friends, keeping quarrels fueled up. And also gossip can poison a mind that was beforehand innocent. I don't know about you, sometimes I look back at my childhood and I think, I want to be back there, innocent, not knowing about all the rubbish that goes on in life, protected. I think it's important that we protect our kids. Can I just say something? Our kids are hearing too much these days. They're exposed to too much. They see too much in the internet. They hear too much. And they don't need to hear any of the nonsense that goes on in the world. We need to protect our kids and allow our kids to be kids and protect their innocence. Sorry, that was an aside. And if I to ask you today, what do you think the worst sins in the church are? I bet if I had to ask that question before today, nobody would have thought about the words that we use and sometimes the way that we use them. Sometimes it feels like gossip is the acceptable sin of the church. But we need to remember that we've been redeemed by God. We're a new creation. The God who created everything that we know and see and can feel and touch, and even the invisible things in the world, that same God, we are made in his image. We're called to a higher standard of life. We do that by inviting Jesus into our hearts and saying, come in, forgive me. And when we do that, the Bible tells us that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. We shouldn't be reverting back to the old ways, as we talked about in that passage from Ephesians. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed by the very God who hears the whispers of our heart. I don't know about you, I find that scary sometimes, that God can hear everything that goes on in my heart. I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish he would just turn the volume down at this bit. But the reality is that God hears everything. He hears the very thoughts in our head. And just as a reminder, gossip is when we are sharing information and we're neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. And it always affects at least three people: the person talking, the person listening, and the person to whom we're talking about. We need to listen to wisdom. If it doesn't concern you, you're better staying out of it. That's one of the things I learned from my dad. If it's not your problem, stay out of it. Do you know what the proverb says? And he quoted this passage, Proverbs 26:17. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Eh? Who's ever tried to grab a dog by the ears? I was out cycling yesterday and I had another dog incident. Believe it or not, I was going along the cycle path towards Blackridge, and this dog, apparently the dog can't hear, and it got a fright when I came up on my bike, and this dog just lunged at me, and it whacked into the side of me, and I was nearly off the bike. I managed to recover myself just in time, and the guy said, oh, the dog's deaf. The dog's got a fright, and he saw what was going to happen, but he wasn't able to get the dog back in time, and here's me in shock. And then I'm thinking about this passage that I was going to read today. Imagine taking a dog and grabbing it by the ears, right? You would need to be crazy, wouldn't you? And the writer to the proverb here, Solomon, supposedly the wisest man in the world, okay? The wisest man in the world had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Eh? Solomon's supposed to be wise, I write. But nevertheless, he did have some important things to say, and this is one of them. If it's not your problem, stay out of it. Let somebody else fix it. I tell you, if I could live my whole life that way, keeping out your other problems, I'd be quite happy. I've got enough of my own to deal with. Thank you very much. And last week, I said the key lies in our connections. The importance of the mission is first. And it's our job as the church to fulfill the mission that God has given us as a church. But the key lies in our connections as church and how we deal with things and how we do life together. How we work together as a church. The key lies in our connections. And I want to just finish by helping us to think about three things. We can't unsay something. I'm sure you're like me. You wish there were things you could go back and unsay. We can't unhear something. A mind stretched to a new idea never returns to its original shape. There are things that I wish I'd never saw, wish I'd never heard, wish I'd never been part of in my life, my very short life. And we can't unknow something. You can't unknow something. Once you know something, you know it. And that was the problem that we thought about last week in the vandalized image when Adam and Eve ate the fruit. As soon as you eat the fruit, you'll die, God said. And as soon as they ate the fruit, their eyes were opened. They began to see that they were naked. They knew the difference between good and evil. They couldn't unknow what they knew now. Something happened, and life was changed forevermore. And it's the same today. We can't unknow things that we know. I wish sometimes we could unknow. And the problem with all of these things, I don't know about you, and the days that we're living in, we talk about mental health and stuff like that, and well-being. I think the less problems that we're exposed to, the better, because our own health depends on it. So how do we deal with the subject of gossip? I think the first one is to go back to rainbow, okay? Just be zippy, okay? Just zip it. Don't speak too quickly. Think before you speak. If you're involved in somebody who's talking about things that you're thinking, I don't know, then change the subject or just stop listening. And if you want to be more direct, you can say, well, actually, that's making me feel a wee bit uncomfortable. And if you're really brave, you can challenge what's being said. Man, I did that once. I did that once in my old workplace in secular employment, where I challenged somebody and challenged what they were saying. And everybody knew what was happening, and I challenged it. What a numpty, eh? What a numpty. I challenged it. There's always some daft guy who's going to speak out and not think about what he's saying. I was that guy on that occasion. And do you know what happened? My relationship with that person was damaged. That relationship was damaged. And I think nobody backed me up in that, even though what I was saying was true. Be careful if you're going to challenge something, because you might get burned. I got burned on that occasion. I got burned because nobody backed me up, and that was a bit annoying. Read through the book of Proverbs. Gain wisdom, gain understanding. Why is this important? Because nothing kills a community quite so quickly as gossip. Whether that's in your workplace, in your school, in your uni, in your street, in your family, or even our church. And that's why Paul addressed this subject with the church. Paul didn't shy back from addressing things with the church. He spoke directly into situations. But it's not the end. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But the thing is, our mistakes are not the last word on who God is and what his plans and purposes is for us. There is forgiveness in God. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not to say that there aren't consequences sometimes for the things we say, for the things we do. We thought about that over the last 3 weeks. Thoughts, words, and deeds. Thoughts, words, and deeds. But God can forgive us of our bad thoughts. He can forgive us of the things that we say that are unwise. He can forgive us of the things that we do that are not glorifying to him. Last week I said that we're redeemed. God has given us the free gift of his grace, but we are sanctified, and it's a process of becoming like Jesus. And we're all on a journey with that. And so I want to encourage us not to be discouraged as we're on the journey, but to be encouraged that God is for us and that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. We're part of a mission. We're part of an army. Believe it or not, the Bible talks about us as an army. We're part of a mission force that's here to change your world for good. And so that's why these connections and how we work together are important. So let's bow our heads in prayer just as we finish off our time together today. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. It speaks directly to our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to receive your word today. Father, we pray that it would land in a good place in our hearts. Lord, help us to realize that even though we get it wrong sometimes, that, Father, you're there, even though you know the depths of our being, you're there to forgive us, and your heart is to do that. Father, you're there to make us clean, and, Father, to forgive us. And, Lord, we just ask that today, Lord, some of us have maybe messed up today, and, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to receive your forgiveness. Father, help us to walk in your grace and in your understanding, the understanding that you can give us. So, Lord, bless us in this day. Lord, bless us as we go out into all that you have for us as a church, as individuals, as our families. Lord, we pray that you'd take us out into all that you have for us. May you bless us as we go. And, Father, I just pray for a deep peace to come upon each one of us. Lord, on every heart, Father, hearts that are maybe troubled, Lord, we pray for your peace. We pray for your presence today, Lord, to come and touch us, to touch our hearts, Father, to come and minister into the depths of our being. Lord, for those who need emotional healing today, Lord, we pray that you'd come by your Spirit and bring peace. Father, for those who are grieving today, Lord, we pray that you'd come by your Spirit and bring peace. Father, for those in here today who need healing in their bodies, again, Father, we pray that you'd come and that you would bring healing and that you'd bring peace to troubled bodies. And Father, that you'd give strength to troubled bodies. Lord, may your Spirit come even in this moment and bring healing to lives, healing to bodies in this place today. And Father, for each one of us, Lord, we pray, help us to follow you. Father, help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And Lord, we know that when we do that, everything else becomes clear. Everything falls into place. Everything else that we need is given to us. But Lord, just help us to seek you first, to seek your kingdom. In Jesus' name we ask. And all God's people said, Amen.